Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. speaking with Mr. Bob Burgee this morning of Mainstay Financials. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ruthie C. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Good to be here with you.
It's so nice to be here with you, too. I know we missed you last week. Had a great conversation with Anna Lee and Dr. Joan, but right. Very excited to have a chance to catch up with you this morning and change the topic of the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, no Medicare.
No Medicare today.
No Medicare this week. I love Joan. She's great, isn't she?
Oh, my goodness. So just her depth of knowledge about the processes and the Part A, B, C, D, you know me, I was taking a lot of notes.
Right. And, of course, Medicare is very important for a couple more weeks now through, December 7th. But, hopefully our listeners took away a lot of that. It's almost a seasonal topic because, of the Medicare open enrollment period. But anyway, Joan's great. She knows her stuff, and if you have any questions or require any information, please call Joan at 437-3127. That's 850-437-3127. She would be happy to help you. What's new with you, Ruthie?
Oh, my goodness. What's been happening? Well, we were going to do Friendsgiving, but then canceled.
Right.
And we do have a networking event coming up for Pensacola Young Professionals. So we're going to be outside, socially distanced. I'm going to try that out, make sure we're safe about it. And, just trying to figure out, like the rest of the world, what's the right thing to do.
Right. And I'm wondering if possibly here, because of where we live, and we have the nice weather that to me is in front of us.
Yes.
And, the very oppressively hot weather is behind us. But I'm wondering if, we can get together a little more outside, physically distancing ourselves from one another. But, it's certainly going to be more pleasant outside than it has been in the last couple of months, right?
I think so. I was saying this morning, this is my type of weather.
Yeah.
I like when it cools off, nice and sunny,
but
still cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I've been here now over 20 years, and I moved here from Cleveland, Ohio. And to this day, when anybody says, gosh, it's cold out, and now I'm saying it. I think I just said it to Tasca. It was kind of cold this morning. But maybe I'm getting used to living here, but I enjoy the fall here. I enjoy the winter here. I enjoy when the sun goes in, and doesn't come out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice as well. Just give us a break from everything, the heat, the sun, everything. I think a lot of us are postponing our holiday plans. Anna Lee and I were talking about it this morning and how we're really able to do other things. And the comment we were making to one another is she has a lot of family in Louisiana, specifically Morgan City. I have a lot of family up north as well. And with COVID, we have, through things like FaceTime and Skype and everything else, and certainly with clients and business functions, Zoom, you're really able to conduct business and really cultivate your relationships with your, with folks in business and family members, you know, pretty easily. So it's not, you know, it's not the time of the year that we're going to, you know, really back away from that. We're just not going to be in each other's physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. That's all right.
I think so. I am grateful for all those technologies that makes that possible. You know, I think if we didn't have those things, it would feel so much harder.
Yes.
And it is easy to fall into that. Well, it's not the same. I agree. I'm an extrovert. I like being in person. But
right. It
is absolutely better than nothing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We just have to plan accordingly, and we have to adapt to our environment. And our environment has certainly changed from what it was a year ago. Speaking of Joan said to me yesterday, I came in and, you know, of course, passed her in the hall, and she said, "My goodness, you know, you got quite a haircut there." And I said, "Yes, I sure did." And yeah, and I got it whacked. Okay, absolutely whacked. And I was thinking about this. You know, one of the things I went in with the intention of doing is, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't want my hair, you know, bugging me.
You're planning
so
ahead.
I said, take it all off, just about. Leave me a little, you know, leave me a little up top, but everything else, you know, get that buzzer out and let's go. And, you know, I had two experiences with, of course, with my, you know, the same place that I get my hair cut, but twice, you know, they fall behind, and because it's closed, and, you know, for one reason or another, I got pushed back, and that's no fun. But guess what? All the people that were in front of me that had to get postponed, they retained their position in front of me. So I had my, you know, my appointment scheduled, but I got pushed back, and the reason is everybody else did. So, you know, your hair gets long. Anyway, so not a big deal. But this time when I got my hair cut, I went in prepared. I got the volume discount.
I like that. Yeah. And what a mindset. You know, I also noticed coming in, I was like, "Ooh, I've got a haircut."
Yes.
But of course, there's more to it than that. There's a plan in place for future considerations.
That's right. And if, you know, look where we're heading, Ruthie. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are, you know, I know a lot of places, mainly up north. I think it's, you know, Chicago, New York, New Jersey. I even think North Carolina, lots of places that are locked down. We have two children up in Chicago. They are in lockdown. And you know, my son is looking, you know, for extra work and anything he can do to make ends meet. I have relatives in New Jersey and New York City. Same thing. They're on lockdown. We're very fortunate down here. But we have to, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. So anyway, one of the things we thought we would discuss a little, keep it off the numbers and talk about a few things I think a lot of us have been exposed to. And when I came in today, you asked what we were going to talk about. And I said, you know, read a recent article on the book that is now 20 years old, Good to Great, Jim Collins. You knew who Jim Collins was right away. And, you know, actually his book is making a resurgence because it has to deal, or it deals with dealing with difficult times. And one possibly thinking, and the word he hates, of course, is victim, you know. And nobody is a victim. Nobody becomes a victim. You make yourself a victim. And that's a very important message in his book, Good to Great. I don't know, how long ago was it that you read it, Ruthie?
I read it. It was probably, it's been within the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay, yeah. It's, and he uses the story of Wing Commander James Stockdale getting shot down in enemy territory. This is during the Vietnam War. This is back in the 70s. Well, he gets shot down. He becomes a prisoner of war, of course. But he decided, as he was going down, as he was parachuting down, that he was not going to be a victim. And he goes on. I think he spent 6 years as a prisoner of war. And one of the messages, Ruthie, was that had that not happened, he would not be the person he's become now. And he made so many decisions during that time. He had a lot of time to think, of course, 6 years. And number one, that he would not be a victim, and that that event certainly transformed his life and became, you know, this is a man, you know, who got married, had children, but he said that is the most important thing that took place in his life. So very inspirational, that story, and of course that book. One of the other things that one of the other takeaways from that book is channeling fear into energy and motivation and ambition. And it's just a great book. It's a great read. If you pick it up and read it, you know, say this weekend, you'll be done with it by Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you pick it up over the holidays, you'll be looking for another book to read. It is that good. And it applies to everything, not just corporate. You know, I think the book was really designed for corporate leaders. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there is a there's another takeaway in that book. Let me see if I can get this right. It's that they call it level 5 leaders, and these are typically CEOs of companies. And you know, the qualities are they're incredibly ambitious, but also incredibly humble.
That's the word.
And they, although they are ambitious, their ambition is 100% directed at the good of the organization, the cause, the purpose of the organization. And for those that aren't fully committed to that objective, that sink, you know, the good of the company, the good of the cause, the good of the purpose, they are sniffed out so quickly if there is anything that is selfish, mm-hmm. in their objective or, you know, their routine. But great book.
Highly recommend. You know, Bob, if you have reread or are picking up Good to Great for the first time and you're looking for a follow-up, can I make a recommendation?
Is it Jim Collins?
It's not Jim Collins.
Okay.
It's a more recent book. It's a lady named Cy Wakeman, C-Y.
Okay.
And she wrote a book. It's called No Ego. And it's all about exactly what you just said, the humility of the very highly driven, highly ambitious leaders.
Right.
But it is channeled in a way that is for the good of the organization and for the team rather than self-promotion,
right,
and you know, accumulating accolades, things,
right,
like that. So
right.
No Ego, I highly recommend. I have it on Kindle.
Huh.
It's an easy one.
Well, maybe you can hook me up.
Yeah.
Right? Because, well, I don't have Kindle, but maybe I should. All right. So we've talked about, you know, a little bit about the lockdown, a little bit about what sort of things are going on. Of course, we are in the throes of this global pandemic. We are coming out of a hurricane season like no other. Interestingly enough, do you know that the most, the worst hurricane, the most violent hurricane this season in the Gulf of Mexico was just a couple of days ago? I want to say yesterday and the day before, the one that hit Nicaragua.
I had heard.
Category 5 hurricane, 185 mile an hour winds.
That's just crazy.
I can't even imagine. Now that has gone straight west like a slingshot. It's going across the, Central America and out into the Pacific. So that's a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got other things going on. Social unrest. We've been dealt a hand this year like no other, and a lot of people are looking to 2021 and saying we will be happy to have 2020 in the rearview mirror. Well, you know, what an interesting number, 2020, and getting it behind us,
right?
And having some sort of outlook on the future. But let's not kid ourselves. The new year is less than a month and a half away. All of this is not going to miraculously cure itself, and we are not going to miraculously cure everything. A lot of this is going to pour over into 2021, and we do need to be prepared for that. Now, some of the things we wanted to talk about today were, or are, taxes. Where are taxes going? And we want to talk about the political, the political picture and how that might affect it. A lot of what I've been reading, and I'm sure you've been, you've seen this as well, is we have a Senate that is likely to be held by the Republicans, and of course we have a president-elect that is a Democrat. We are going to have some things that may not get passed, and this article, it's actually from 2 days ago. Says that our fears that taxes are going up, they are going straight up. You know, President Biden would like to raise taxes. Yes, he would for some people, but it's not going to be as bad as we think. As a matter of fact, just to delve into the political landscape a little deeper. There is one race that is still yet to be decided. I think, what was I reading? The Alaska and North Carolina senatorial races were taken by the Republicans. There is one that is going to have a runoff, and that is in early January, I believe, and that is in Georgia. All eyes should be on Georgia. That is where the swing votes lie for the Senate. Right now, if the Republicans secure one of those Senate seats, then there will be and will remain a Republican majority. But Ruthie, that's how close it is right now. Now, if both Senate elections go to the Democrats, the swing vote will be our vice president. And so what we're looking at are, we have an election within an election right now. So the Senate majority will be decided in early January. And that's a very interesting topic. And I think that's going to have a lot to do with where our taxes go. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying taxes are going up. I certainly am saying taxes are not going down. Okay, that's something that I think is a foregone conclusion. But we do have stimulus money. We have mounting debt that, you know, the only way to address this deficit is to stop spending or increase the revenue. Mm-hmm. And the revenue is our tax base. And I think that's really what we're looking at, is increasing the tax, the revenue, which is our tax base. The other thing that we need to look at is our Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, really wants to make sure the taxes are not increased. He is perhaps the most important person outside of our president right now, our president-elect. And I think that Mitch McConnell is wanting to make sure, well, he doesn't want another stimulus bill passed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want another shot into the economy. But he also really does not want taxes raised. So let's go through some of the taxes that, some of the tax increases that have been discussed as being in play or at least up for grabs at this point in time. I think the most important is the federal income tax, the federal income taxes, which affect all of us. Now, during the campaign, it has been made, you know, abundantly clear by our president-elect that he does not plan to raise income taxes for those making less than $450,000 a year. That's great. That is great. But part of his tax plan, his income tax plan, is to raise taxes to 39.6%. That's where they were before they came down, a little bit from that to, I believe, 37% was the highest marginal federal income tax rate. 39.6 isn't a tremendous increase, but that is something that is probably going to happen. Let's see. The other tax proposal by our president-elect is that FICA, and that is the tax that funds Social Security, that right now any amounts over $137,000 are not, in terms of income, are not subject to FICA. President-elect Biden's tax plan would increase that, would actually have a tax that kicks in at $400,000 of taxable income. And I know a lot of our listeners are unaffected by this, but it's important because it looks like a lot of the tax revenue, at least the plan for a lot of the tax revenue, is going to hit the very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's okay with me. You know. How about you, Ruthie?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be writing any letters about
right,
that one.
Right. Now, on the corporate income tax side, now that's something we're going to spend maybe 30 seconds on. I know President-elect Biden and his administration would like to see that increase to 28%. Again, not a big deal for our listening audience. Now, here's another one that is, I think, most certainly going to be affected, and that is our federal estate tax rate. Right now, you can shelter, I believe it's $11.58 million. So $11,580,000 can be sheltered from federal estate taxes. So nothing is taxed until you reach that mark of $11.58 million. Next year, it is supposed to increase, because this is the law, to $11.7 million. So the exemption is $11,700,000. There is a sunset provision. And the sunset provision says that in the year 2025, that amount of exemption, which is nearly double what it goes back to, will go to $5.8 million. And that's an important figure, because that is something that we may not make it to. 2025 may be stepped up to another year, like 2022, probably not 2021, for it to revert back to $5.8 million, and that being the federal estate tax exemption. That is about all we're going to do with taxes at this point in time. Ruthie, did we have anybody calling in?
We don't have any questions at the moment.
Okay.
But if you have one, please text
yes.
or call 437-1620.
Okay. Terrific. Ruthie, as far as the balance of the year goes, what are you planning to get done in terms of just making sure things get done before the end of the year?
Oh, gosh. Christmas shopping.
Okay. Christmas shopping, right.
We've got a car to sell, trying to sell a car.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I hear the used car market is great because you know, you go by any of these places and there's no cars on the lot, the used car lots. I go by one every day.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your two biggest things. Okay. All right. So you've got a plan. That's terrific. Are we driving to a news break, or do we have some time?
We are going to the news in just about 20 seconds
okay.
or so.
Okay. All right. So real quickly, on as far as the taxes go, the message is this: with a divided Congress, specifically divided Senate and executive office, we don't believe things are going to be as bad in terms of tax increases as we once thought. Okay?
That's great news. I'm glad to hear that. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Bob Burgi of Mainstay Financials. We are going to be back with more, but first we're going to see what is going on in the news. Mark.
Good morning. Mayor Robinson says he thinks some sort of Mardi Gras celebrations are still possible. We'll have the story after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. More than 247,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19, according to the Johns Hopkins University count, with a record 73,000 people currently hospitalized with it. More restrictions are in place in some cities and states.
Mask mandates in Iowa, church service in most of California no longer allowed, and with a message from Seattle to Newark to cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas gatherings. Though a recent Ohio State U survey shows 38% of people polled plan Thanksgiving dinners with 10 or more people.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. The discovery of about 2,600 uncounted votes in Floyd County, Georgia, adds 778 more to President Trump's total. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger tells Fox someone inexperienced failed to upload a memory stick from one of the machines.
They messed up. It was human error.
He says the rest of the recount isn't showing much change, and the president is still behind by about 14,000 votes. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 67, mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. With COVID-19 numbers going back up, many parades and festivals have been canceled, but Mayor Grover Robinson says he's meeting this week with Pensacola Mardi Gras organizer Danny Zimmern, saying the city was able to safely have Veterans Day events, and he sees no reason we can't also do Mardi Gras safely if prudent measures are taken. A suspicious device on the floor of a plane headed for Pensacola caused a delay in Dallas. According to Channel 3, the flight at Dallas-Fort Worth was headed for the runway and takeoff on Sunday night when a device was found. The all-clear given a couple of hours later, but the passengers didn't make it on to Pensacola till Monday morning. The device in question turned out to be a gender reveal party smoke bomb. You never know when you might need a plumber, so remember, Barberry Plumbing.
We'll be seeing a little bit of a warm-up today, though. Temperatures eventually getting into the 70s. Nice and sunny skies with that high near 73. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
67 in Pensacola in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Stocks are lower. The Dow Industrials down 205 at 29,744. The Nasdaq's down 18. The S&P 500 down 14. Retail sales rose 0.3% in October from the month before. That fell short of expectations and was well below September's 1.6% gain. Sales dipped in a number of categories, including grocery stores, restaurants and bars, sporting goods and clothing. Makers of infant formula and diapers are bracing for another possible COVID-19 challenge, fewer babies. Birth rates have been declining for years in the U.S. and China, and new projections suggest the pandemic could lead to hundreds of thousands of fewer births in the coming months. A drop in new arrivals could spell trouble for makers of infant products such as formula. Who needs the pastry if you can have just the icing? Cinnabon has begun selling its signature cream cheese frosting by the pint for the first time ever. It's being sold for $6 at 900 locations and through food delivery apps. That's Your Money Now.
Have you applied for disaster assistance? If you have any uninsured losses resulting from Hurricane Sally and you're a resident, you could register for disaster assistance with FEMA and the SBA. FEMA has dispatched its personnel to mobile registration intake centers to answer questions. Once you register with FEMA, you may be referred to SBA. For information, visit BeReadyAlliance.org or disasterloanassistance.sba.gov for more information on the SBA. The deadline to register is December 1st.
Join Travis Thompson with Climateca Professional Air, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. this Thursday morning at 9. Join in as Travis and Ruthie discuss how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. That's Thursday morning at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Mr. Bob Burgie of Mainstay Financial Group, and we have been talking about all things tax-related for 2021 and want to make sure that we are moving into some more, future projection-type conversation here. I like when Davis and Andrew are on in the morning, they do future news where they predict what's going to happen next.
So. That is great.
Which is always fun for me to tune into, right?
Oh, I love that.
In the morning.
That's a great idea.
And so in that vein of thought, we do have a question coming in. Want to let everyone know that we have plenty of time to answer your question if you call or text 437-1620. This question is for you, Bob, obviously, not for me.
Okay.
What do you think will happen in the stock market in 2021? So, okay. No pressure.
Okay, that's a wide open question. What do I think will happen? Well, I think the stock market will remain in existence. Okay,
because that a lot is of a people, starting point.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people. Well, no, that's a great question. What do I think will take place? And does it say in 2021?
Yes, 2021.
Okay. 2021. After the year 2020. Now listen. I think the most important thing is to stay the course, remain on track with your investment objectives. You, when you first invested your money, selected an asset allocation and a certain amount of risk that was hopefully suitable for your age, where you are in the life cycle of and your career cycle, and if you do not want to deviate from what your plan was, if you had a plan to begin with, and hopefully your plan included diversification, again the right amount of risk. You don't want to have all of your money in the stock market. If you're, 65, 70 years old, you need to take some off the table, some of the risk off the table, especially after what most of us went through in a year like 2020. But what you need to do is, see your investment professional, your financial services professional, sit down with them, discuss what your needs are, what your plans are, what your risk tolerance is. Just go in for a checkup. If you don't have one and you'd like to go down that road with somebody, please give us a call at 850-437-3127. Ask Kristen to set up an appointment with Anna Lee and myself, and we will go through this process with you. But whatever you do, don't change your plan, if indeed there was a plan, okay? And that's about, and I will say this, there's going to be a great deal of volatility, I think, especially in this, what remains of the second half of the fourth quarter of 2020. And, as corporate earnings are announced, as these elections run their course and are completed and finalized, I think there, we will see a lot of volatility. And certainly as closures come and go with the global pandemic, I mean, those three things are huge that I just mentioned. But that's what we're in right now. So volatility will remain, but stay the course. Do not panic.
Don't panic. I was just about to ask, is that really the underlying message here? Like, if people are curious about what to do for the rest of this year, hang tight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, at least annually, you need to revisit your plan and make sure it matches up with all of your objectives. And, we keep saying the same words, diversification, risk. You want to make sure that your risk is in line with where you are in this life. And, so revisit your plan at least annually and make sure you're on track. But again, for the balance of 2020 and into 2021, do not panic.
That's, I think, pretty solid advice. Anytime panic, I don't know, has ever really helped much. Right. We do have a question coming in. This listener asks, what is the potential for an increase in capital gains?
What's the potential? I'd say the potential is high. You know, I would say it's very high. And the way the capital gains tax works right now, and I'm talking about long-term gain, short-term gain is treated as ordinary income. But in terms of long-term gain, there are basically three rates, 10, 15, and 20, and it's based on your income. But that right here and now is a gift. Long-term capital gain rates of, at least in my experience, and I'm getting up there in age, have never been this low. But, do they have the potential for going up? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is one we really didn't cover, and I'll tell you why. We were looking at this article. That is not a particular hot button right now. So, now what is, okay, I don't know if our listener really asked this question, but I'll go ahead and address this issue, is the possibility of eliminating the step up in basis. And that is what is known as the step up in cost basis. Let me explain that real quick. When one dies, whatever assets, what we call non-qualified assets, whatever assets that are not in a retirement account or anything else, because they have no gain consequences, receive a step up in basis. And that means when you die, whatever it's worth on the day you die is the new cost basis that's passed along to the beneficiaries or whoever you leave it to. That new cost basis, of course, if you buy a piece of property, or let's say you buy, a mutual fund or some other holding, anything. If you buy it for $10,000, it goes up to $50,000. And instead of that $10,000 cost basis being transferred to your beneficiaries and them having to pay long-term gain taxes on the difference between $10,000 and $50,000, they would receive a step-up in basis to the date of death value, $50,000. They can turn around and sell it once it becomes theirs, and they pay no capital gains, in essence. Now, it may go up to $51,000, $52,000, may drop down to $45,000, and they have a long-term loss. But now, some of the discussion is getting rid of the step-up in basis. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. First of all, it's a record-keeping nightmare. It kind of cleans things up in terms of cost basis when one dies. But, think of all the assets that have been held out there for, decades, centuries. And eventually, they get sold. But once they trade, once ownership is transferred from one person or one entity to another, they receive a step-up in basis. Certainly any taxes can change. I think long-term gains will hopefully remain low. That's is part of trickle-down economics. The ability to sell something, to sell a highly appreciated asset and not have to pay a lot in gain, that certainly benefits our economy.
So that's a great question.
Yeah, that is. These are tough questions, let me tell you.
Right. If you have a question, you are welcome to give us a call or send a text to 437-1620, and we can try to get that answered for you. So that is a pretty big deal when it comes to, like you said, when someone passes away mm-hmm. and now there's a transfer of ownership.
Right.
Are there any other changes that are coming that are related to estate planning? Anything else in 2021?
There are certainly always going to be changes. There are changes coming that we don't know about. Some of the changes that have taken place that I think is going to become almost a bonanza for estate planning and for estate planning attorneys. And remember, estate planning, the only estate planning that can actually be that can actually take effect with you has to be done by your estate planning attorney. So when we're talking about estate planning and we're talking about wealth transfer issues, please consult your estate planning attorney. There's lots of board certified wills, trust, and estate planning attorneys out there, especially here in Pensacola. They're terrific, all of them. But you know, you always want to consult one of the professionals in this industry. But back to estate planning and wealth transfer issues. One of the things that I think is going to receive a lot of attention, Ruthie, is you probably heard the term stretch IRAs. That's when you can, let's say, a husband and wife are married. One dies, the survivor dies, and all of the money goes to the children. Well, the children have a life expectancy that was certainly longer than the parents. You could stretch it out over their lifetime, their entire lifetime. That's a nice, and let's say you got five kids like me. You stretch it out, you sprinkle it out, and you know nobody's life or ambition is affected that much. But in 2020, the stretch IRA went away. That opportunity is gone forever, unless you died before then, okay? But now there's a 10-year rule. So take that same example. Husband and wife pass away. They leave it to their children. They have to take 100% of this 100% taxable account out in 10 years. Now, they can take it out in 5 years, but the longest they can stretch it out to now is 10 years. And think about this. A large IRA, very large IRA, $500,000 IRA, and you have one child. That's $50,000 a year with no growth. Mm. That's if it doesn't grow. $50,000 a year minimum that this child has to take out. That's you know, that's enough to possibly change the trajectory of one's ambition, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
that's a nice way to put that.
I know you said we have a caller. Go ahead.
We do. Yes, I'd like to welcome Nancy from Pensacola to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How
Good.
Are you?
We are great. We are great. Thanks. Did you have a question?
Yes. I just wanted to know why a 403B retirement plan with the state of Florida cannot be converted to a Roth.
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Okay. You cannot take, you cannot take your employer's qualified plan and conduct a, or execute a Roth conversion. You have to first roll it out into an IRA, and then, so it's two steps. The first thing you want to do, you have a 403B. So you had a, do you mind telling us who your employer was?
The state of Florida.
State of Florida, I figured. Okay. State of Florida. And, you know, the interesting thing about a 403B, you don't have to be employed by the state of Florida to have a state of Florida 403B, because most of the counties, municipalities, you know, school boards in the state of Florida use the state of Florida for 403B. So did you actually work for the state of Florida or local government?
Yes, I did. I worked for Department of Children and Families, Child Support Enforcement, Protective Services, etc.
Well, that's terrific. You are going straight to heaven. We know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. But so a 403B, what you want to do first, Nancy, and
I don't, because they have a fixed option that pays very well.
Okay.
And in these uncertain times, as you've mentioned, I like the fact that the fixed amount for the last several years has been above 3%. Let me just say that.
Okay, that's...
And continues now
and
at that amount.
And a lot of these government-sponsored plans have this fixed income option, which is terrific. The TSP, which is the federal plan,
yeah,
has a great option. Risk-free, and it pays, you know, somewhere around 3%. So, yes, you would be foregoing that to roll it over into an IRA. One other thing you may want to do, you may want to call your plan and just ask if there's anything you can do.
I did that.
Okay.
And they said no.
They said absolutely not. Yeah, you know, typically to convert to a Roth, you have to first roll it over into your own IRA, and then you can convert. And the nice thing about a Roth conversion is you can take any amount you want, prepay the income tax, and then it's in an account that is tax-free, right? Annalee's favorite two words, tax-free.
That's right.
For the rest of your life. It grows tax-free. Anything you take out is tax-free. But, yeah, you're having to surrender the opportunity of remaining in that 3%. And that 3%
and wait 5 years. However, I was wondering, maybe I need to contact my state legislator to see if they could change the law. Is that possible?
I don't think it's your state legislator. I think it's actually the federal. You know, that's a great question. I just don't know of any qualified plan that you can do that in. But you just brought up another point, and you're way ahead of the game. You know, when you convert it. Just got to stay in there 5 years. So good point, Nancy. But
yes, because I have traditional IRAs that I am converting to Roth bit by bit, a little bit each year.
Well, there you go.
So
yeah, that's the proverbial low-hanging fruit there is the traditional IRAs that are outside your plan. That's your Roth conversion money right there.
Right. So what I'm asking is then, you say there's a federal law that prevents state plans?
Not saying that, but I don't know of any qualified plan, and I'm talking about your employer-sponsored plan,
mm-hmm,
that allows you to convert within the plan.
Any 403B or 457?
403B. I haven't run into one. Not saying there isn't one. But the one thing that I think is made that has been made clear to you, I think you said you called your plan administrator and they told you that
yes,
you cannot do it. I can't imagine the numbers of people and the lobby that the state of Florida retirement system has to get something like that done if it were legal. So I'm just thinking it's an option that isn't available to you right here and now.
I just wonder what the reasoning was. They mentioned because of taxes, and I thought that doesn't make sense either,
you know,
because each conversion would involve tax paying this year.
I will weigh in on that, and it may be as simple as this, Nancy. As you know, a 403B, a 401K, a 401A, they are all self-directed, employee-directed plans. And once you roll it out into an IRA, you have to have a trustee, a custodian, and you really can't do anything you want without somebody saying, hey, wait a second. A 401K, 403B, 401A, you can do anything you want if it's legal.
They only have limited choices, actually. I found that an IRA has many more choices.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
401k has limited choices.
you have limited choices, but there's nobody there to there's no gatekeeper to anything. You're not getting any help on the decisions you make. It's employee directed.
I don't have a gatekeeper on my IRAs either. I can make my changes online independently.
Okay. Okay. Well, like I said, there may be a very simple fundamental reason as to why you can do it in your traditional IRAs and not in your plan. I just don't have the reason. But maybe maybe it's time for these employer-sponsored plans to come up with a reason, right?
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nancy. Have a great day.
Thank you
too. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Nancy, for calling.
Thank you for the program. I love it.
And we have another call coming in from Jacques in Gulf Breeze. Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Hi, Jacques.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Hey, I love the show. I saw an article online, I think it was CNN, that gave the market's performance under presidents going back to, I think it was Reagan, and surprise, surprise, the greatest market increases came under, first it was Clinton far and away, and then it was Obama. You know, Clinton was the internet, and then Obama was because, I guess you have to look at the endpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of where you start versus where you finish, right? And Obama took charge kind of in the depths of the financial crisis. So I guess we might have to readjust our thinking is, you know, it always does well under Republican versus a Democrat in office.
Right, right.
I think, you were talking about this a little bit before. The biggest problem, we're just addicted to spending and subsidies of every stripe cutting across both of the parties, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, this is when the... listen, we're going to talk about both of them and, you know, their vices and virtues. But this is when the Republicans say, well, we laid all the groundwork for those administrations, you know, and it took, there was a lag. Mm. And that's why they enjoyed it during their administrations. And then, of course, I've seen those statistics where, you know, and I do know that Clinton administration and the Obama administration had very good runs. I think it has to do with a lot of things. I think that the financial crisis, the housing crisis, and all that bubble was bound to burst, and it did when it did. And I think that there have been three this year, if you count 2020. So 2000-2001, the market went down probably around 38-40%. In 2008, it went down 38.5%. And then here in 2020,
right.
And of course it was almost a moment in time, you know, from March, April to, not to now. I mean, it recouped the loss in, you know, a matter of months, but it was, that was certainly in excess of 34% this year. But that was so quickly. The other ones were not as abrupt a fall.
Okay, right. Do you ever think there's a chance? I know you're coming up on the end of the show, but is there any chance for us to get a grip on our spending? Or is there just never, is that never going to happen, the horse has left the barn kind of thing?
Yeah, and Ruthie's giving me the 1 minute sign. I'd love to, this is a great conversation. I'll answer it in a matter of seconds. But do I think there's a chance for us to get a grip on our, and I think you're talking about our government. I think it's going to be very, very difficult, my friend, especially with everything going on right now. Thank you for calling.
All right, thanks, Bob.
My pleasure. Everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. What a wonderful